I think the scriptures, I think we need to go to the scriptures and see more about what this thing of meekness, this characteristic of meekness, what it truly is. And the scripture does describe it unto us. In Galatians chapter 5, we see here that the children of God, we who are saved, are called to be meek. We're called to be meek, and it is a fruit of the Spirit to be meek. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, let's read here. And understand, just don't focus on this characteristic, this spirit of meekness that's there, but look at other things that are around it, because they feed into us, feed into it. This of the fruit of the Spirit, it says here in verse 22 of Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's interesting that temperance is right there near meekness. Meekness, as all the fruit of the Spirit are, is intertwined with other things. Meekness is intertwined with gentleness. Meekness is intertwined with faith. Meekness is intertwined with goodness and with temperance, which is self-control. Meekness is intertwined with joy and with love, charity with legs on it. As it is with these other fruit of the Spirit, they are intertwined. They're mingled together. As the good brother said years ago, we just don't look to exhibit one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, but if you will, the fruit salad of the Spirit. They're all intertwined. They're all there together. And meekness does borrow and is connected to these other fruits of the Spirit, as are indicated here. Meekness. The Lord's children are to be meek. You know, you and I are to be meek. Meekness. What is meekness? Well, I tell you what, by the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see about meekness, don't we? In Matthew chapter 11, we take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ and just a glance at His life here in the Scripture. And Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, through verse number 30, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus Christ, we just cut to the chase, He declares that He Himself is meek and lowly. Now, we consider about meekness as we go forward. We'll see some things about the Lord Jesus Christ that maybe we think meekness is, but what the Lord Jesus Christ does flies in the face of it. Understand, meekness is not weakness. And being humble does not mean that a person that is humble is nothing. But a right attitude and a right understanding of taking the place that we've been given assigned by our Lord, that we've been directed by our Lord, the Spirit about which we go. We'll say a few things about this. Jesus says, "Come unto me." He doesn't say to go to any other. He says, "I am the answer for what you need." You know what? And He's meek in that. He's just telling the truth. There's no other that has the answer. Jesus has the answer. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." First and foremost, how about the sinner that has that condemnation of sin upon them? Jesus says, "Come unto him." Come unto him with your sin and your depravity, your need. Come unto him with that condemnation, that coming damnation that lies ahead because of your sin. Come unto him, he'll give you rest. Child of God, we can get burdened down, can't we? We can get burdened down with care and with hardship and illness and injury, sickness, bad times, financial problems, trouble with work. We can get loaded down too, can't we? Problems with our children, problems with our grandchildren, burden that we have for our brothers and sisters in Christ, those in the church that are going through. We can get burdened down, can't we? Jesus says, "Come unto me." Jesus says, "I am the only place of rest in every respect. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. I will help you." He says to us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." We preached about the yokes that are around in our lives and in this world. Jesus says, "Take his yoke upon him and learn of him." Learn about him. Learn about what Jesus has done. Learn about who Jesus is. Learn about what Jesus is doing and what he will do. I tell you, it'll be a blessing to you. It won't be, as it says there at the end of the passage, it won't be like the yoke of the world, you know, but Jesus' yoke is good. Jesus' yoke is a yoke to bear eternally that'll be a blessing. Jesus' yoke is a blessed yoke. He said, you're going to have a yoke, but you know what? You'll do better about learning about me and putting my yoke upon you, because there'll be a blessing. Jesus says, because I am meek and lowly in heart. That's the example, meekness. Well, whatever meekness is, he's got it. And he's humble. He's lowly in heart. You know, he's the king of all that there is. I was going to say the universe, but things go beyond the universe, don't they? Scripture tells us that. Things go beyond the universe. There's those things that can't even be seen. And you know what? Jesus is over all of those. He's the king of all. And you know what? He says he's meek. And he came of no reputation to be our Savior. He came, indeed, the anointed one, as Brother Stephen pointed out this morning. But he didn't come in any fanfare or any show. But he came like those that he came to save. He came like them. He's separate from us, but indeed he identifies with us. So he can be a Savior that's meek, that's suitable. He's meek and lowly. Jesus says he's meek and lowly in heart. He's meek and lowly on the inside. Not just raging on the inside, but controlling the outside. Jesus says he's under control. He's meek and humble inside. And he was also on the outside too, wasn't he? As we'll see. He's meek and lowly in heart. And he says, come unto me, take my yoke, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You know, that's what the world, that's what people have been looking for millennia, is rest and peace. Stability. A resting and ease, and ease in the heart and in the soul for whatever is at hand and whatever will come. Rest. And the Lord tells us much in the Scriptures about the rest that he provides. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That old yoke that you naturally have will kill you, as we preached recently. As the Bible testifies, that yoke of this world will kill you and drags you down to death. But Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Our Lord came meek and lowly. In Matthew chapter 20, the Lord conveys this to his own disciples. These guys have been trooping around with the Lord, and he's explaining to them about what he's going to do it. And what he's going to do, and James and John rise up, and they want to be primary in the cabinet of the Lord. They want to sit on his right hand and on his left hand, right? And even their mother, grown men, to get their mother to beseech the Lord for them. You know, be a man. Take care of your own business. Don't have your mama asking something for you, okay? Now, don't have your wife asking, but take care of your own business, okay? Men, be a man, okay? He says, go on here in verse number 25. Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority over them. There's a rank. There's an order. There's those that are over others and over the others, and they're always trying to gain and get on top of one another. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Meekness. Be the minister. You want to be great? Want to be great in the sight of the Lord? Be the minister. Be the servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, verse 27, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. If there was ever one that shouldn't have given of himself so, it should have been the Lord. But you know what? He gave all for our sakes. Meekness. Our Lord says, you want to be great? Be meek. You want to be great? You want to be chief? Be a servant. You want to be top in the kingdom? Be a minister like the Lord is and was a minister in the day of his ministry. In Matthew chapter 21, we see here the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ and passages, scriptures being fulfilled that were prophesied of our Lord. In Zechariah, in verse number 5 of Matthew 21, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, a donkey, and a colt, the foal of an ass, where no one had ever ridden upon. Jesus, they went as he commanded. It's time for some things to be set straight. He told the disciples to go over this town, find this donkey and its foal in the crossway, and to go over there and get it. If they say anything to you, tell them the Lord has need of them. Sure enough, that's the way that it went. They went over there and got the donkey and the foal that was with her and bring them out of there. The people say, hey, what are you guys doing? And said, the Lord has need of them. Oh, okay. And then they take them over there. They put their cloaks and their coats upon him, and Jesus gets up there on that foal. Tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of riding the choice animal that has ever existed upon this earth. He rides the foal of a donkey. A statement is being made. Our Lord has come meek and lowly. You know, yet he is to be praised. He's worthy. And they take and they're crying Hosanna, and they're going down through there and putting their clothes in the way and putting the palm branches in the way. And Jerusalem said, what's going on out there? And those people start flooding to the city, and they're coming before the Lord. And he comes in there riding on that donkey. He doesn't have 50 men riding before him. He's got these people. He's got, what's he have? He's got these nobodies coming before him. And I tell you, they're rejoicing. They're saying, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna under the Son of David. And he comes in there and he goes into the temple and sets all that straight. He kind of came meek and lowly, didn't he? You know what? Our Lord, not only, as it says in Matthew 11, that he is meek and lowly in heart and came meek and lowly in heart when he came to fulfill being Messiah and our Savior. But you know what? He's meek in action, too. Self-controlled. I think that's what we see here. I think that's what we see about our Lord. He is self-controlled. He is self-controlled in, if you will, heart, soul, and mind, and body. Yet our Lord has got power, doesn't he? Doesn't our Lord have power? Oh, our Lord's got power. He tells us in the Scriptures he's got all power. He's got all authority. Take a look over here in Mark chapter 4. Let's take a look about the Lord Jesus doing what he did. And I dare say you and I would be embarrassed to do what he did. You know, Jesus wasn't embarrassed to get on the foal. Jesus, as we pointed out here recently, like Brother Ezekiel, he had trouble telling the parables. Jesus never was embarrassed to tell the parables. Jesus was never embarrassed about his own. Praise be to God. He came to call sinners to repentance, and you know, he was never embarrassed over them. You know what I'm saying? These are my people. It's not like he's saying, these are the best I can do. He's being merciful, and he's saving sinners that are repentant, isn't he? Sometimes in times past, we might be embarrassed about our company, who we keep with, or maybe somebody might have issues or times they'd be embarrassed about their family. They might be embarrassed about their friends. Jesus not embarrassed about his own. In Mark chapter 4, we see our Lord Jesus here with our brethren. He tells them to pass over on the other side, and they take a little ship, and he's asleep on a pillow, verse 38. He arose and rebuked the wind. They said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to die? And these are men that some of these men have grew up on the water. And he arose, verse 39, and rebuked the wind, and said, quit that, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, not the water, but they feared about him, saying one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? My Lord is not a wimp. He's a man. He is God of great power and ability. Yet he says he's meek and lowly in heart and in action. He did what needed to be done so the scripture might be fulfilled. And he wasn't ashamed of the prophecy, and he wasn't ashamed of doing it. Yet he has the power to say into the storm and to the wind and to the water, peace, be still. In Matthew chapter 26, we see another occasion, and there are many, but we just take a look at a few highlights here, looking about our Lord and what he says about being meek. In Matthew chapter 26, we look over here in verse number 51. There in Gethsemane, Judas is betraying our Lord. In verse 51, we pick it up, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. We know that to be Peter. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take up the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Boom! 12 legions. Wipe out the world in minutes. But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? As a hint there, I've been sent to do something. Peter, put the sword up. Don't you understand what's going on here, Peter? There's some things that need to be accomplished. Put that up. If our Lord, in being betrayed by Judas and taken by this group, he takes and he heals the ear of the man whose ear was cut off by Peter. And they're out to get him. In John chapter 2, we see here this first and the beginning of our Lord's ministry, this of him cleansing the temple. He did so at the time of his triumphant entry, but he did so at the beginning of his ministry too, if I understand things correctly. And in John chapter 2, we pick it up here in verse number 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence and make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. This was in the beginning of the Lord's ministry. He did this twice. Here he refers it as it to his Father's house. You think a long-haired sissy man could go in and do this? He's got power. And he exhibited righteous indignation here at this time. And as I suppose, and I'll be honest with you, that's what it is, but anytime there's money around, there's guards, there's brutes to take care and keep the peace and keeping the people that have the money. I mean, we're talking about a little bit of money. We're not talking about $20, $100. There's a bunch of money there because there's thousands of people coming to Jerusalem to exchange money for the money of the temple. And none of those fellows posed the Lord Jesus Christ a threat at all. He threw them all out with a scourge. And it says in other passages about this time or the other that when somebody would rise up and try to walk through the temple and carry something through there, he ran them out too. And then it tells us when our Lord did so at his triumphant entry that he then started healing those that came to him that were diseased and blind and halt and lame. He's got power. You know what? His power is under control, isn't it? And that's what meekness speaks to. How about this? Romans 8, verse 5, verse number 8. The book of Romans speaks about the winking eye of the Lord and the long-suffering of the Lord. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How about some self-control there? How about an old wicked sinner born in 1965 that naturally hated the Lord, and yet Jesus died for him? How about meekness there? You know, Jim Duke should have been zapped. Should have been zapped. I'm guilty and I'm wicked before God. But you know what? My Lord was long-suffering, which is connected to meekness. He had the power to squash me like a bug. And I had it coming. Have it coming. But you know what? Our Lord is meek. He's under control. Our Lord is the greatest one. But you know what? He came and did what he did so that the likes of myself could be saved. You there here and saved so you could be saved. Tell you what, that's some control, isn't it? That's some control. And see, the thing is, we are no catch. I've got nothing to add to God. I've got nothing in and of myself to add to my Lord. Yet he did such a thing for the likes of me. Oh, he's meek. But he has power. And in his meekness, his power is under control. You know what? In this subject of meekness, our Lord Jesus is the example of that. You know, Moses was a meek man, wasn't he? Scripture says so in Numbers chapter 12, verse number 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. That's what the Lord says about him. He's more meek than anyone at that time, and I believe more meek than anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I believe, but at least for that time, we know that that's the case. And you know what? Turn over here to Exodus chapter 2. Look what this meek man Moses did. Now, how big was the army that came out of Egypt? If I remember correctly and read my Bible correctly, those that could fight that came out of Egypt were 600,000. You know what? And some of those fellows had been working all their life, toting that brick and making that brick and building those cities. You know, they weren't wimps with flabby muscles, were they? But look here what happened in this rebellion. In Exodus chapter 2, I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Look here what happened early in Moses' life. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, he went out to his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. But Moses was able to kill a man with his bare hands, I believe. With his bare hands. There was no challenge. And then what I was referring to, we come on here to Exodus chapter 32, when Moses has gone up on the mount. Now you tell me that a wimpy man could do this. In Exodus chapter 32, verse number 19, Moses has been up on the mount with the Lord receiving the Ten Commandments and the law of the Lord, and the children of Israel, they get bored. They can't wait on the Lord, and they appeal to Aaron to make them a calf, make them gods, and Aaron says they took up the gold and threw it in the fire and it jumped out. You know, really? Aaron's insulting Moses' intelligence. The Lord knows what's going on and tells Moses so. And verse number 19 of Exodus 32, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it in the water and made the children of Israel to drink of it. That's going to, that's going to take some power to make those 600,000 footmen to be able to drink that water, it's going to take some power. Yet this is a meek man, the most meek man in the earth, the Lord tells. Meekness, power under control. As an aside, you know Satan is not meek, is he? Look at Satan. Satan is not meek, isn't he? Is not Satan self-serving? He says, I'm going to sit on the sides of the north. I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to be worshipped like God. I'm going to the I wills, the five I wills of Satan, as it tells us in Isaiah or Ezekiel. Is not Satan a liar? He is the liar. Is not Satan a murderer? Turn over to John chapter 8. Satan is not meek. Satan is not meek. And you know what? When you and I are not meek, according to our Lord, what he's told us, you know, look what company we keep. In John chapter 8, verse number 44, ye are of your father the devil, the Lord Jesus tells these folks, and he's the one that can make this judgment alone. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. John 8, 44. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. See, because Satan could do it, and I understand that Satan's refrained by the limits and the bounds that are put on him by the Lord, but you know what? Every bit of ground Satan's given to go, he goes it. Every bit of ground he's given to go. He has no restraint whatsoever. He has power. He has ability. And you know what? He uses it in every extent against God and against God's people. He hates mankind because mankind's been made in the image and likeness of God. Because mankind has been subject to the grace, mercy, and love and salvation of our Lord. He hates mankind. And he uses every bit of the power he has to the limits that God sets against everything that is God and is good. You're of your father the devil, and the lust, the desires of your father you will do. You're willful, he says to these people, just like Satan is willful. And he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. See, a lack of meekness, that's where one that has no meekness or a lack of meekness, they don't give a lick about the truth. They want what they say is the truth. Does that sound familiar? That's what we saw this week. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He's always self-indulgent and self-will. He wants to do what he wants to do. And those that lack meekness, that's where they're at. You think about a bully. A bully has ability in some way, whether it be by their mouth or physically or financially or with influence. And you know what? A bully just takes, and because they can do something, they take and they serve themselves and hurt others because they can. Just because they can, they do. No meekness. No meekness. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Can we not say that Satan is the king of self-promotion? The king of self-promotion. You know what? We are not to promote ourselves. In Luke chapter 14, let's take a look over here. This is directly connected with meekness. We saw our Lord mention it to the disciples earlier. In Luke chapter 14, verse number 10, Luke 14, 10, the Lord Jesus says this, but when thou art bidden to a feast, bidden to a party, go and sit down in the lowest room. This is what Jesus says to do. There's a principle here. He's not just talking about going to parties. There's a principle that's here that goes beyond going out and being amongst men. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. And thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, the unmeek. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, the meek. You got legs? Can you walk up to the highest room? Just because you can, don't. Sit down low. And when the host sees you and says, hey, you move on up there to a better spot, then that's the way it's supposed to be. Not self-promotion. not self-promotion. There's a principle there. Brother James writes to us, and the Lord, of course, in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Meekness. Meekness connected with humility. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Children don't have any power. Children sometimes learn how to manipulate their parents, and certainly some grandparents. We saw that with the VBS offering. I think there was a great grandparent financing there, and I'm thankful for it. It's good. But children have no power in the world. That children are dependent upon their parents and others to do them well. That's the way we're supposed to be. That's the way we're supposed to be before our Lord. We need to humble ourselves as little children before our Lord. He says, these are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 20, verse number 27, and whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. Boy, that's plain, isn't it? Plain and concise. You want to be chief? Be a servant. I ask you the question, who do you serve? Who do you serve? Who do you serve? Who do I serve? In John chapter 12, verse number 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. This is our VBS theme. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. You know what? The servant doesn't want to be out. The Lord's servant doesn't want to be somewhere out, away from the master, lack of meekness. But you know what? As the Lord says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, like we read, that servant, the servant that is meek, wants to be near the Lord. Amen? If any man serve me, let him follow me. He's following the Lord. And where I am, there shall also my servant be, meekness. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Not self-promotion, but promotion from our Lord. Do we want accolades one from another for our faithfulness and obedience? Or do we just want to serve our Lord and obey Him and let Him take care of the rest? Our Lord, listen, our Lord has promised to make us priests and kings unto Him. And that's in the life to come. Now understand the promise and hold sure and true to the promise. But don't go around here acting like a king now or behaving like a king now. The Lord will give it and take care of it in His time. That's meekness. We know what He's promised. We see this in a couple occasions in Matthew chapter 19. And I've referred to this here lately. It's been on my heart and mind, and it's got several considerations. In Matthew chapter 19, here the rich young ruler has been around. And he went away sorrowful, right? And Peter says, what are we going to have for following you? And you know what? I think the Lord's answer left Peter's mouth and jaw hanging open. What are we going to have? And Peter's got something in mind. He's thinking something. We all do. And the Lord says, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What? I think then Peter went from requiring to fear. I mean, would you want to be told that you're going to be judging a tribe of Israel? You say, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. Need to work on meekness. But if that's what the Lord says for it to be, whatever the Lord says, then that's the right place. That's the right place to be. See, trusting and resting in our Lord that He will take care of what He wants to do. And then we see in Revelation, in the book of the Revelation, John on the Isle of Patmos, we see in Revelation 5 this mentioned here by these that are there in Revelation 5. There before the throne, the Lamb is able to take the book, touch the book, read the book, open the book and read the book. Nobody else could do it. And in Revelation verse number 5, verse number 10, these that are here, they sing a new song about the Lamb being worthy to take the book, and they say in their song, "And it's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." You know, we're not to promote ourselves. The meek do not promote themselves, but they rest and wait upon their Lord. You know, John was so excited about that point that in his introduction, he saw these things and then wrote about these things. We find in Revelation chapter 1 that he reiterates this in verse 5, Revelation 1, verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That was a point that when John saw that in Revelation chapter 5, when he saw that in his introduction, it was on his heart and mind, and he wrote it reminding us that that's what our Lord's promise does. But may we be a servant. May we have the heart and attitude of a child. May we look to be the minister of others, and follow the example of our meek and lowly Lord when he was upon this earth. That's what the Lord is pleased with. In conclusion, meek is not weak, is it? You know, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is rather an obedience to and pursuit of the truth. Think about that. Meekness is an obedience to and pursuit of the truth. If Jesus says you and I are to be like servants and ministers because the example that he gave, he came to be a servant and minister, you know what? We say, that's the truth. That's what I need to do and follow. That's what I need to obey the Lord in. The Lord really means it. Now, does he mean that just in church? No, he means it in every aspect of life. Not only in regards to the church, in regards to work, and our dealings in our communities, that we're to represent our Lord well. We're to represent our Lord well. Meekness is ability and power under control. It's exhibited. It's exhibited by our Lord and others in the Scriptures. Meekness is submission to our Lord. See how those fruit of the Spirit are connected? Love for Him. Faithfulness to Him. Trusting and resting in His faithfulness, knowing that I don't need to promote myself because the Lord will promote me to what He wants to have me at. And you know what? That's where I belong. That's where you belong, is what the Lord wants to do for us. But see, what we've seen this week, they want to promote themselves. They want to gain the world unto themselves. They want to gain the control of the real estate, the control of people, the control of nations to themselves. They're not meek. And we who are the Lord's, we need to be reminded about what our Lord has called us to do. Meekness is being a servant to our Lord and others when you should be the King. Huh? Jesus is the King. He had every accolade and praise and glorification. They should have been rolling out the red carpet, the best that could be done amongst men. He should have had the finest steed that has ever existed to ride into Jerusalem. But instead, our Lord, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, and He testifying of Him coming meek and lowly, He rode on a donkey's foal, on clothes and palm branches into His city. There's other things that are going on there. The meek shall be blessed of our Lord, as He has promised. Listen to these passages in Psalms 22:26. "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever." Psalm 25:9. "The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way." What a blessing, what a promise. Psalm 37:11. "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." See, the unmeek, they don't care if there's peace or they don't care if there's turmoil. All they care about is gaining position for themselves. That's all they care about. Control. In Psalm 45, verse 4, "And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness." See the connection there? Meekness is connected with truth. Meekness is connected with righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Psalm 76, verse 9. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. Think about that. Pause and think about that. The Lord saves the meek. In Psalm 147, verse number 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. In Psalm 149, verse number 4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not the unmeek, those that are not meek, that are trying to inherit the earth now. Not the conquerors of the world, not the despots of the world, that by hook or crook or any fashion that they can pursue, they can look to control people, they look to manipulate the law, they look to manipulate all things for their own self. They lie, they cheat, they steal. They don't give a lick about the truth. They don't give a lick about the law. They don't give a lick about justice and judgment. They only care for themselves. And anyone that gets in their way, they put down. But our Lord says, in meekness, you've got the ability to do things. You've got the ability to dominate. You've got the ability to speak. You've got the ability to put force upon somebody. The Lord says, keep that under control and be a minister and a servant to others for his namesake. The Lord says in meekness, stand up for the truth and stand up for what's right and just from our Lord, not from what men think, but from our Lord, and stand in him and rest in him. Don't be a self-promoter. Don't be one that brags upon self, but be one that brags upon our Lord and leave all the blessings, leave all the benefits, leave all the rewards. Leave that with the Lord and serve him joyfully in the days that he's given us. Blessed are the meek. You know what? One day the meek are going to inherit the earth. And that's the Lord's design and the Lord's way. And may he help us in that.